to The Two Tones. It's episode 11, and there's nothing like breaking a drought, is there, Tone? Da-da-da-da-da!
You're in great voice, Tony. There are blue skies over Icon Park as we speak. It's lovely to be alive, isn't it?
It really is. There's a different feel about the place. I was talking to the lovely Cheryl, the gorgeous face that greets you as you enter Icon Park.
Yes.
And she said, oh, look, we're always happy here, but gee, it makes a difference.
It makes a difference. And, you know, it was great to see Bryn Bolton taking full advantage of the free coffees that were available downstairs today, Tony.
Tell us about those free coffees.
Well, Martin Shannon, the ground manager, very kindly footed the tab for any members of the playing fraternity, the staff that were hovering around the Carlton Cafe around 9 o'clock this morning. So the coffees that we're drinking as we speak, Tony, are all the more sweeter today, aren't they?
It really is. It's it's a delicious, invigorating nectar. Much like victory itself, Tony.
What an elixir it is, Tony.
Now, where did you watch the game?
I watched the game from home. I had a prior commitment in Melbourne that I had to meet, and I was, keeping my eye on the clock to make sure that I didn't miss a moment. Got home in time, and, there's a great sense about this game. We travel well to Perth. Boys historically do play well. This was always going to be a test. Admittedly, Fremantle are struggling, and they were, it has to be said, put out of balance a little bit as the game panned out with injury. Mm. However, that's a tough place to win at any time. And might I say, I commend the Carlton supporters in Western Australia
that
repeatedly turn out in support of their team. And I think when the whips were cracking, let's be honest, they were cracking all day. Mm. I mean, this was a tight contest. And it went down to the wire. But I think the support that the visiting Carlton team got by the locals in Perth really, I think, helped will each of them across the line for a meritorious and famous victory.
Oh, it had to. There was a shot at one stage. I was watching it in a dingy inner city pub, a pub where fun goes to die, and occasionally so do some of the locals there. and there was a shot. And it was just a wall of blue.
Yes.
It was magnificent,
yes.
And that's got to mean something.
Yes.
But it was a torrid contest.
It was a torrid Titanic contest. You obviously weren't watching it from the North Fitzroy Arms. Mine host Percy Jones, who had a few of the Carlton people in.
Well,
and they were delirious.
They
Tony
were
down there.
There was the singing of the song at the end. I'll definitely be making that the venue I go to next time. There's so much to talk about in this game. Can I just kick off Mark Murphy, captain's game?
What an outstanding performance from the front by Captain Murph. You know, I mean, he had a dozen stitches in the scone, and I don't think he's one that necessarily relishes the thought of the protective head wear. I think he would probably find the item uncomfortable to wear. In saying that, I'd love to see him wear it every week. Because I know he puts his head in a lot of places players by right shouldn't put their heads, but I think that sort of that insurance really sort of even further aided and abetted his cause. And, he's a short man that, we know has taken the full brunt of everything oppositions have thrown at him for the best part of a decade. And, maybe he should consider wearing the helmet from here on in. However, he was just outstanding. I think he racked up something like 12 or 13 touches in the first quarter to really give the visiting team, a better than even chance. And I think that when you look back at the game, it did, come down to the wire, as we said. And yet, that first quarter was terribly important because, in making it a contest early on the piece, you're actually negating the brunt of the partisan crowd, that becomes a factor when the home team starts to gather a bit of momentum. So that didn't happen. And Carlton and Fremantle were locked into a struggle. Now, the other thing I'd like to say about this, Tony, is that Frio have prided itself on contested possession for a long, long, long time, and yet Carlton prevailed, to a man. And I'd have to say beat Frio at its own game, and that was what was so pleasing. In the tight end contest, I think of, Cripps particularly, as the game went on, really making an impression. And it seemed to be a trait that was, you know, taken to heart by every Carlton player out there. Yeah. And I think every contest was so hard fought and hard won. This was a win built on 100 minutes of footy. It's the first time we've played 100 minutes of footy this year, and the result that we all wanted has come as a consequence. So all power to Mark Murphy and the players, Tone.
Just on that, Tone, and just something you were saying before, I want to relay this exchange from Talking Carlton. My ritual is to go, win, lose or draw, go to this website let's say, prognosticators.
Gee, you're a glutton for punishment.
I really am, but it's always fun to go, especially after a win. And there's always somebody who tries to hose it down. And there was a poster who said, perspective please, ladies and gents. No Sandilands, Mundy, Fife, who was injured, and Ballantyne, injured as well. The retort was thus, from another poster. I thought the perspective was that they have been the team with the highest win-loss ratio in the AFL in the past 3 years. This is Frio. And they played off in a prelim last year. Plus in WA, they are a six-goal better team. On their best days in 2015, without those four players, they would still beat us by 10 goals on their home ground. We are bottom of the ladder, a team who played on sheer guts and a poorly functioning forward 50. That is perspective.
And that sounds like it has your paws written all over it, Tony. Oh, was that something that you just flicked out in a moment's madness after the game?
No, but I just thought, you know, let's just take this win for what it was. As you said, 100 minutes of dogged, honest football.
Very, very true. As I say, beating Freo at its own game. And I think we prevailed too as the game went on. You know, we seemed to find a yard. And I can't second guess what Brendan Bolton said to the players at three-quarter time. But, the spirits must have been high. You know, they thought we can do this. And to a man, they willed themselves across the line, as I said, into a famous victory. But, you know, you mentioned Murphy, Tone, a bit earlier. There were so many heroes to this. You know, I made a couple of notes just reflecting on the game. Now, Kieran Byrne actually survived a pretty big head knock, I think, with Walters.
It seems to be like a weekly occurrence almost when he does play, that
he,
is.
He plays with, you know, he with Gay Bennett, as they say, and a lovely attacking player, really sort of setting Carlton up from the back half. And I made a note of, you know, our defence. You know, you've got Byrne, you've got Tui, Wiedering, Sam Doherty, who seems to thrive on the the challenge. Oh. And of course, Simo, probably in career best form.
Yeah.
I think what Bolton's doing there is developing, you know, okay, Simo's perhaps getting towards the end, which is a shame, but I think Bolton is developing the nucleus of a really great defensive half of the Carlton Football Club. And you can see that this is a work in progress, and it's like a piece of the jigsaw puzzle being put into place. And as time goes on, you know, another piece goes in. And what you're seeing is the development of a solid, hardcore group of players that you know are going to be in the contest from the first bounce to the last.
Yeah.
And I think that's what is so admirable to see in these players, the way they just hang in and hang in. Of course, with age and experience, four-quarter performances are going to become more commonplace. Mm. And I just think that for any Carlton supporters watching on, how could you not be excited with what you're seeing in terms of the development of this team under Brendan Bolton?
Yes, it's a journey of 1,000 miles, not a single step. The inability to actually put the opponent to the sword. There was, you know, missed chances in the last quarter. You've got Levi's failure to dish off to Bucks, which is going to make for some interesting match review stuff.
The Gibbs decision to play on and fluff that kick in the second quarter. When you're sitting there watching, Tony, and I don't know if you felt this way, but I remember sitting there and seeing that, you know, that the Gibbs one, the Casbolt era, and thinking to myself, you know, they come back to haunt.
These
are going to come back to haunt, and it's in the forefront of your mind. If you're a spectator watching on, you feel that way. You must think that also if you're a player out there and, you know, you're busting a gut to get the ball up front and having these golden chances frittered away, and it must play on the psyche. So that was a constant, you know, reoccurrence in my mind, yeah, actually watching the game, that these are chances that ultimately will cost Carlton dearly. However, they still found a way. And, you know, mentioning Gibbs, you know, for Gibbs to come back with that magnificent goal in the last quarter, yeah, you know, well, that well and truly paid for that earlier, Sid.
Yes, it did. He's... What I found odd about that, his kicking style, he looked at the ball the whole way through. His head wasn't up looking at the goals. He looked down at the ball.
Yes.
So he was as surprised as anybody when he saw the ball sail through. And then reacted with two fists in the air like he just negotiated an end to the Syrian civil war.
Yeah, and yet there was no jubilation on his face. And I looked at that. I remember the moment, you know, and it, to me it looked like relief.
Yeah.
It was relief. It, you know, it must have been a tremendous... tremendous amount of pressure on him, you know, and on the team collectively that moment in the game. Cometh here, cometh the man, you know, he stood up. And that's you know, when we look at that game, you know, the players that stood up at vital moments, even players like Gibson might have been down for a period. You know, you look at Liam Jones.
Liam Jones,
you know, was character assassinated probably about a minute before he took that big grab in the last quarter, those two marks.
Well, I was thinking there was a man in the late 80s called Jesus Jones.
Yes.
And I found myself quoting the name Jesus Jones any time Liam went near the ball. And it was out of sheer frustration. But he grabbed it and converted.
And he did, and he did. And I was referring to him as Percy Jones myself. But however, you know, there's a classic example of a player... A much maligned player, it has to be said.
Yeah.
Been down for a long time, you know, and was down in the game for a long time. But it just goes to show, if you hang in and hang in, if you're hanging long enough, it's going to turn around. And all power to him for you know, delivering when it was most needed. But you know...
Can I just mention Ed Curnow, who, again, is one of those players. Well, the Curnow DNA has been very kind to Carlton of late, but, like, just watching his effort and commitment, this is a player who's played under a couple of coaches now and just seems to... He's totally bought into the game plan, and that is, you know, dogged, persistent, running... tackling, being accountable.
Yes.
He's right on board with that.
And I think when you point out a player like Curnow and you think about it and you think about, you know, Wright and all these fellows from GWS that are...
Yeah, who are shaking bait players. They've come here and they're ready to go.
Well, that's right. The word that to me is the thread for all of them is honesty.
Yeah.
You know, all these guys are honest. And you know that when they go out onto the ground, you're going to get honesty of performance from them. That's all you can ask at the end of the day. You know, we lament the fluffed kicks to position and the errant goal kicking, you know, finishing off. But at the end of the day, as long as the players are having a crack and continuing to try and better themselves, you really can't ask for anything more. And I think as time goes on and Bolton fine-tunes this list, we're going to see the polish come into this team.
Yeah.
But we know we've got honesty, and that's a fair head start.
Let's talk about the forward line just quickly. Daisy kicking three was magnificent. There was a beautiful set shot from the forward pocket.
Goal.
That was a magnificent kick.
Absolutely
he
glorious.
He sharked
goal.
Another one that just, you know, relied on nothing more than football smarts.
That's it. And I've been banging on about this for a while now, that they had to play him forward because he's a smart player and he has creativity. And we've struggled to find goals this year, no doubt about it. And in a low-scoring contest, these are the players that stand up at critical moments to give Carlton what turned out to be that match-winning advantage. And... Thomas is such a smart player, and he's good in close in around goals, and I think he would be a handful for most defenders playing, you know, playing up front. So there was another classic example of a player that had really that had been under a fair bit of duress. You know, we haven't seen his best at Carlton, it has to be said, but has hung in and hung in and hung in, and all power to him for contributing three big goals in a very low scoring game.
It was, one for the ages. I know I griped about the umpiring last week. I thought the umpiring was pretty good against Freo. There was what I liked. You had umpires that said, I will step away from the contest and I will just let the ball, I'll just let it flow.
Yes.
And there were some great moments of that where you could have thought the umpires could intrude, they could impose themselves on it, but they hung back. And we as spectators got a great tussle as a result.
Very, very true. And it's there's been a comment made already this week, Tony, about the decision of the lawmakers to reduce the interchange rotations, which means that in the second half the games are really opening up, and what we're seeing a really terrific contest. Not only the Carlton Fremantle game, which admittedly was down in terms of skill and finesse. Yeah. But we are seeing great finishes as games open up and players, suddenly have given a little bit more space to ply their craft. And I think it's good for footy that this is actually happening. So, it was great all round.
Well, we'd now face the onerous task of giving our votes.
Yes.
And I'm going to go over to you, Tone.
All right.
3-2-1.
3-2-1. Well, we mentioned, and it was hard to, really... distinguished. There were so many good players, and can I just, before I give the votes, Tone, we didn't mention Matthew Wright, that magnificent play, to smother that kick and then, somehow weave around a circle of Freo players to feed the ball to Mark Murphy.
That was magnificent. And you wonder if the great Earl Spalding was watching that one and there were shades of the 95 grand final and that great smother.
Very true. I know Dora was watching. Luca Ganano, our producer, mentioned that John Doricic was calling the game for 7-7-4.
How good's that?
And was in the rooms after the game.
Awesome.
Great to see. And how heartening he must have been to see that his team get over the line in his hometown. The votes, Tony, I went with, after some consideration, you mentioned Daisy.
Yep.
I gave Dale Thomas a vote for the three big goals in a game where goals were hard to come by, and good on him. He's been under a fair bit of duress. Patrick Cripps, the extractor, particularly the second half, where he really, I thought, took control in close, an amazing game. And three votes, the little big man, Captain Courageous, Mark Murphy, couldn't go past him for best on ground. Tremendous.
Yeah, do you know what? I'm just going to endorse that because there's just no point otherwise.
There were so many good players.
There really were, I was definitely going to go 3 to Murph and 1 to Daisy, and why on earth not to
the crippler.
Cripper. Yes, indeed. But look, there are, as you say, there were so many other notable contributions, and it was just... if you haven't gone to the Carlton website, go there now to see the singing of the song in the rooms afterwards. It is it's a magnificent bit of footage.
It is a sight to behold, although I tell you this, there's probably about a dozen blokes that probably need a fairly quick crash course on the lyrics to Lily of Laguna. I was watching Ed Curnow and he wasn't lip-syncing too well at all. I thought of Milli Vanilli when I was watching it.
There was a bit of head down. Well, anyway, he's hoping there's plenty of other opportunities
Absolutely. It was a hell of a waste of Gatorade.
How many players there would have been singing it for the
first
time?
There was nine, apparently. Apparently there was nine in there. Eight or nine Carlton players that not represent their club in victory that were in that huddle. And someone made the point that, that's almost more inside the huddle than in the circle. So that's phenomenal, isn't it? Probably tells you a fair bit about Carlton's recent history, where this team is coming back from. We're coming from a long way back. This has been a long time. And but for all that, a lot of us have suffered. We've seen good times, admittedly, some of the older people, Keith Club, we've seen good times, but a lot of us have been through this hellish period.
Yeah.
It's coming up to the worst period in Carlton history. It's not quite there. 23 years it took between premierships 15 to 1938. So we're not quite there, but we're nearly there. And it's been too long. And this, we're talking a generation of Carlton people that have not seen success. And I think that's why this is so exciting. There's a long way to go. We understand that. But I think we're on the cusp of a new era. And, when we look back in time, maybe this is the game that we see as the turning point where it all began for Brendan Bolton and his group of players into 2016 and beyond.
Keep an eye too. That's a great point, Tone. Keep an eye too. It's always a good idea to go and get the match reports from the twos and to see who's coming up and developing nicely there. And there's a system in place. We saw the game plan against Freo. The game plan seems to be gelling. There is a broad whole of organisation, as you've just mentioned, Tone, improvement. That's what Brendan Bolton has wrought. And it's just, this is a great time to get behind the club.
It is indeed. And when you think about it, Bolts has probably had, what, barely 6 months in the chair. Mm. You think of what... how much has been achieved in that period of time. You know, he probably would tell you that he would have loved another 12 or 18 months to get this team ready for 2016. But in saying that, I mean, the fact that Carlton's got over the line against Fremantle in Perth 5 games in to the tenure of a new coach.
Nobody would have picked
that's phenomenal. Like, and you think of the improvement holistically across the board. We're not just talking the team, you know, we're talking the whole place. It's phenomenal, and it's a great place to be at the moment. And I really think the Carlton is on the way. You know, I certainly hope it is.
How lusty will the rendition of the club theme song be if and when we get over the top of Essendon next week? They were beaten by 11 goals thereabouts by Collingwood.
Yes.
How do you see that match panning out? It is, I'll just give you the times. 1st of May, 3:20 p.m, Carlton v Essendon. That's Sunday.
Yes.
It is May Day.
A May Day Sunday, it is
yes,
too.
Yes, indeed. So if you've got time, you know, you come from Red Square where you've seen the pride of the Soviet military, you take up your membership seat and hopefully see, a good, honest match with Carlton prevailing.
Well, we're up against the red shirts too,
yes,
aren't we?
Yes, we are too. Yes,
indeed,
let's
Tony.
Smash them.
So let's smash them. I was a little bit perturbed watching that first half of the Anzac Day game against Collingwood and thinking how lamentable Essendon was in that first half. And just thinking ahead, you know, how souped up they're going to be to atone for that pretty abysmal performance. So the Carlton players will need to be on their mettle, you know, really. They're going to get challenged by a desperate opponent that would love nothing better than to take Carlton out, next week. So I just hope the players understand the significance of this win, you know, the importance of backing up, you know, what was a successful outing in Perth, realise that, you know, the most important game is the next game ahead. You know, we can't look behind or dwell for too long. So looking forward to it, Tony. And, it's going to be all roads leading the MCG Sunday afternoon.
Definitely. I will be there. Tone, 4 champions this Friday night go into the Carlton Football Club's Hall of Fame. Scott Camporale.
Yes, who I understand is making the trek across from his native South Australia to be there on the big night.
Who else have we got?
Milam Hanna.
Awesome.
The Cranium will be in the house. Ian Robertson, 3-time premiership player at Carlton. He's a great player, Ian Robertson. Wingman, prodigious kick, drop kicks, punt, you name it. He was the master at it. And Jack Rout, the late Jack Rout, will be represented by his son. Jack Rout, a great player. We talked about the drought-breaking premiership of 38. He was there. And he was also a long-time chairman of selectors. The man that kept Ron Barassi at bay, the bull in the china shop through the 1960s, that great golden era of Carlton history. So all those men will be honoured at the Athenaeum Theatre, Tony, a lovely venue. Last time I was in the Athenaeum, I think I saw Dr. Zhivago on the big screen.
Really?
It's been a while.
Wow.
But however, it'll be a great night, and every Carlton supporter worth his or her salt should get down there Friday night. We're celebrating a big win in Perth, and we're moving on to the Essendon game. So it'll be a great air of anticipation in the room. And, of course, there will be a legend elevated from the Hall of Fame also. So
we won't say who.
We won't say who.
We'll find out on the night.
We will find out on the night. And what we can say is that legend will be in the room.
Awesome. And is thoroughly deserving of the status.
Very true.
So to witness a special evening in Carlton's history, purchase your tickets today via carltonfc.com.au. They are, as Dame Edna would say, affordable tickets.
Yes, they are indeed. $70. So we the club has tried to keep it in the within the price range of most supporters, members of supporters. So if you're a Carlton supporter worth your salt, as I said, get down there and be part of an historic night for the Carlton Football Club.
It will be a great night. Get on down there. Go Blues. A great week. And we look forward to having a conversation in a similar vein. And next we convene for the two times.
Keep the lid on it.